Today's podcast is taken from one of my mini travelogues. I call it Wonderful, Wonderful Copenhagen. Travel writers are rather like politicians, although they don't lie quite as often. They tend to write just what will please their editors. Every once in a while, a politician, usually after he's retired or has lost his seat, will publish a book which professes to open Pandora's box and tell the truth. Unfortunately, the new revelations are rather more to sell the book than to tell the truth. My blogs have no kiss and tell revelations. I just no longer have to please my paymaster, and these are my personal notes on how I really saw some of my destinations. For the next of my hereto unpublished mini travelogues for the delectation of my friends, today we go to Denmark, which seems to have cemented its position at or near the top of every global quality of life survey. Take a look around and it's not hard to see. Denmark has a total population of 5,600,000 and Copenhagen a population of 500,000. Compare that to the population of London at over 8,600,000, it isn't overcrowded. Most of the population have bicycles, and in fact there are twice as many cycles as there are motor vehicles. So many people cycle just because there are literally no hills, and it's fairly easy going. This lack of hills also means that when the wind blows, it really blows, and it seems to be windy most of the time. It also rains or snows for half of the year, and that's not in the brochure. I've a number of Danish friends and have visited many times. They seem duty-bound to put a positive spin on their harsh environment. They seem united in turning lemons into spiced mulled wine, and they call this cultivated cosiness hygge. That's H-Y-G-G-E, and I know I didn't say it properly. It's considered a major weapon in combating the dreary darkness that befalls the Nordic countries over the winter, where the sun shines fewer than 7 hours during the length of the winter solstice. I personally found it hard to adopt hygge, and I felt it perhaps a good reason for the high alcohol intake among Danes. They are, however, a happy people with a sense of social support, freedom to make life's choices, and a culture of generosity. One of the many attractions I find is, though they speak a peculiar half-and-half-and-half lingo among themselves, they all speak far better English than what I do. I meant to say what I do. What's more, everyone understands what I'm saying, and I don't even have to shout. Copenhagen is a glorious city filled with beautiful people, but has two overhyped and the most disappointing attractions that most people will ever heard of before arriving. The first attraction this wonderful city has is the statue dedicated to the famous fairy tale written by Danish author Hans Christian Andersen in 1837. It's the Little Mermaid statue. As you'll read in your guidebooks, it was unveiled in 1913, and it's most famous among the locals for all the times her head and arms have been sawn off by vandals. Your expectations will naturally build as you take the surprisingly long and out-of-the-way walk along the harbour, and your only real clue that you're getting close is the crowd of bewildered tourists assembled who are taking their own photographs and asking each other, "This is what we walked all this way out here for?" The Little Mermaid statue is only about 4 feet tall and looks more like an ad for a bad posture than a city's proudest landmark. It was built by the owner of the Carlsberg Brewery, and it's not even original now. She's sat on a boulder since August the 23rd, 1913, but has had a very turbulent life, with at least 8 vandalism attacks. She's been doused in paint numerous of times, had her right arm amputated, been decapitated 3 times, even pushed off of the rock in 2003. Fortunately, the sculptor made a mould so that Little Mermaid's parts have all been reattached from the original mould. Like the famous spade that's 200 years old, but it's had 7 new handles and 4 new blades. We read then about the Tivoli Gardens, the most famous and greatest attraction in Scandinavia and one of the world's best-known amusement parks. However, it's also the most expensive, with a charge of around £15 entrance fee and every ride costing a little over £2. It's not the place to go if you have a lot of kids, although kids under 8 do get in free. It's also renowned for being jam-packed with people queuing for cheesy rides. I cannot vouch either way because no one mentioned to me that it only opened between April and September. I read about the gardens being lit up at night time with 120,000 lights. As the evenings come to a close with a spectacular firework display, one day I must go when it isn't shut. The city itself is a truly wonderful city and I love it. Go and see the Rococo Friedrichstaden district and its wonderful royal palaces. And on neighbouring Funen is Odense, the hometown of storyteller Hans Christian Andersen, which has a medieval core of cobblestone streets and half-timbered houses. But take my advice, you can give the Tivoli Gardens a miss along with the Little Mermaid. I could certainly see why the current tide of immigrants invading Europe would find Denmark an attractive target, especially for economic migrants, with the reputation of its government being people-friendly. However, the Danish Parliament has just backed a controversial proposal to confiscate asylum seekers' valuables to pay for their upkeep. Police will be able to seize valuables worth more than 10,000 kroner. That's 1,340 euros or £1,000, from refugees to cover their food and housing costs. All I can say is jolly good for them, and the Merkels of this world can go and hang. The internet is full of stories of complaining migrants. One of them is a certain Barar Jihad, currently accommodated in the abandoned hospital in Helsingør, which is now a Red Cross reception centre for asylum seekers and refugees. He says he's very unhappy with the government plans to give Syrian asylum seekers a provisional one-year residence permit without the possibility of bringing their family to Denmark. If I had known this, I would not be fleeing. If I knew about these rules before I left Lebanon, I would have stayed there. If this one-year rule comes true, I'd rather go back and live with my family. Some asylum seeker. There you go. Away you go, then. Now, if this had been one of my sailor yarns instead of a mini travelogue, I could tell you of the time I spent over 3 months here in Copenhagen when my frigate on leaving harbour was blown off course. I told you about the high winds. And we went into the Danish royal yacht, whose bow we sliced off, and then proceeded over its anchor cable, chopping off both our screws. But that's another sailor's yarn, so I'll keep that tale in my locker for another time. Right, that takes care of the Viking marauders with their silly horn hats. Skål! Now who can I upset next? The world is a book, and those who do not travel read only a page. Thanks for listening.